Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we take a mini vacation from the turmoil of life and escape into my Doctor Who phone box, which is bigger on the inside. Okay, it's not. It's the size of a closet, and maybe even smaller, since it's cluttered with my good intentions and visions of our better self. What it is life's lobby. And let's meet there right now, shall we? Come on. Are the rooms ready?
Nope, not yet.
Oh, come on. What's the holdup?
We got here a little early, and they're running a little behind because they haven't constructed the actual rooms yet.
What? No.
I thought it was crazy, too, but she said they haven't been made up yet. I guess they make them on demand. That way they don't have too many. That makes sense.
No, she means the rooms haven't been cleaned yet.
Not what she said, but okay, whatever.
Did you make sure they have a cot for me?
They know.
I can't sleep in those regular beds. They remind me of not being in the army. And you told her no peanuts in the shampoo, right?
Peanuts in the shampoo?
Yeah, my hairstylist says no peanuts.
I don't think they put them in there.
They put almonds in shampoo.
No, that's just the fragrance.
It's to mask the cyanide.
I don't remember shampoo smelling like almonds before Vidal Sassoon. Is he the first one to put nuts in shampoo?
Yeah, before that shampoo smelled like... What's Head and Shoulders smell like?
Blue plastic.
At least the lobby is nice.
It's kind of Second French Empire.
Yeah, Second French Empire slash Greek Revival.
Slash.
What? Slash what?
No, it's Slash, look.
That's not Slash. That's not even a person. That's a topiary.
Oh, I don't have my glasses on. So the one on the other side of the door isn't Naughty Holder?
How long did she say it would be?
She didn't. She said just wait in the lobby and they'd let us know when the rooms are ready. It's hard to estimate completion dates on construction projects.
They're not... whatever. Frustrating. I guess we just sit here.
I guess we live here now.
This isn't so bad. It's a beautiful lobby. Look at that huge bronze thing on the mantle.
What do you think it is?
Maybe it's an urn with the ashes of the original owner.
Oh, he'd have to be huge. That thing is massive.
Maybe he had all of his possessions and friends and family cremated and they're in there too.
Maybe it's a samovar, but instead of tea, it dispenses the ashes of the dead.
Man, you guys are creepy.
Want to play a game?
What kind of game?
Nope, wrong answer. Lou?
No.
Bing, bing, very good. Next question. Whose portrait is that over the door?
It's either Myron Cohen or Lennon.
Lennon had a goatee.
Then it's comedian Myron Cohen.
I don't think it's either one. I think it's someone who has something to do with the hotel.
Maybe it's the employee of the month.
Maybe all this is really just someone's dream, and that's the guy in whose head it's all happening.
At least the chairs are comfortable. I could sit here for a good while.
How about eternity?
Oh, sir, I didn't see you.
You have plenty of time to see me, though, since we will be here for all eternity.
The lady at the desk said more like 30, 40 minutes.
Is that what you think?
No. They designed this place just for us. It is our unique punishment.
It does seem to reflect our eclectic interior design tastes.
No, this place is hell.
I think hell would have more of a Dorothy Draper look. Bright red chairs, green carpet, tortured screams of the eternally damned.
I assure you, they have doomed us to this place, and we are here to be each other's torturers.
Hey, Hardy, this guy's heard your show.
I'm bored. I'm going outside for a smoke.
My friend, you can never leave this place. Where did he go?
He went outside for a cigarette.
I can't believe it. How is that possible?
I know! This day and age, someone's still smoking? I've tried to tell him, but he's stubborn.
There is no way out of this place.
Ugh. Except for that door, and the back doors, and the door through the restaurant, and that side door that says fire exit.
This is just more torture.
Amen. Should we check again and see how long it's going to be?
You mean, should I go check? No, I just did. She said she'd get with us when the rooms are ready. I'm not making her mad. I might need something from her, like free shower caps or advice on vegetarian restaurants in the area or someone to help me cover up my crimes.
Life just stands still when you have to wait like this.
No, it doesn't. This is life. What better things do we have to do?
Well, I'd like to maybe lie in the bed and watch TV.
Wow, you live life to the fullest. Here in the lobby, You get to be at the hub of it all, to see people, to be with your fellow lodger, whether he's staying in the smallest broom closet or the grand suite.
Hey, Butchie, how was your smoke?
I saw a cartoon cat ride by on a Ducati.
Man, those are slick.
What were you smoking out there?
Weed. Super strong weed. But that's not it. I just don't have my glasses.
Be careful, Butchie. You're a little cavalier. Is he really a little knight?
Yeah. I'm Sir Go Yourself. Who is this character?
I am Joseph from Rio, and you are my torturer.
Well, screw your own thumbs. I'm busy, Mac. What the heck?
I admit, I'm no good at waiting.
I am. I could wait all day. That's all I do is wait. I prefer waiting. Waiting allows you to think. When you're waiting, your fate isn't sealed. Once they call your name, who knows what could happen?
Wherever I hang my head is my home.
I think it's wherever I hang my hat.
I don't have a hat.
What did his hat do to deserve a hanging?
This is why I hang my head.
I am in hell. Sir, you're making your own hell. We make each other's.
In fashioning myself, I fashion man.
Ooh, Butchie, that's good. Who said that?
Yves Saint Laurent.
Excuse me, do you have a light?
I have some matches from Mary's Bill's Steakhouse. You can have them.
Thanks. Do you happen to know where the manager's office is?
No, we don't live here. We're just waiting for a room.
I have traveled from the next town.
Wow.
Do you see that man? The big guy with the beard by the urn?
Yeah.
The one with flies all around him?
Yeah, I think he might be following me. I saw him on the train, too.
Well, he's coming over here, so I hope he's not dangerous.
Excuse me. I think I recognize you from the train.
Yeah, I thought so. I recognize you, too.
What's with the flies?
They're blue bottle flies. This place is full of them.
Oh, great. That's what the one star is all about.
What was that?
We are in hell.
Hardy, that can't be good. Let's go.
Calm down. That's simply part of the local Day of the Dead celebration.
In December?
Lots of the locals are Canadian immigrants. So it's Canadian Day of the Dead.
That makes sense.
What brings you to this hotel, young man from the train?
Oh, I'm just passing through.
Good. You know, today is the anniversary of the day this hotel changed management. The day it was sold to a chain. I thought maybe you were the son of the previous manager come to seek revenge.
No, no. I'm just gonna come out and say it. Are you Zeus?
Excuse me?
You look like the Greek god Zeus.
Thank you. I work out.
Will all of you please be quiet? I'm trying to concentrate on being miserable.
I am not here to avenge my father's death because I am not the son of the previous manager who has traveled to see his sister. And like I said, I'm not here to avenge my father's death, and I'm not going to. I am a free man.
And so I have no power over you. Not that I'm Zeus.
Who wants gum?
Ooh, please.
Are you sure you have enough?
Of course. Why would I offer?
Appreciate it.
I'm gonna step outside so I can prove to myself this isn't a metaphor.
Do you mean Marriott?
Why are we not in the lounge? Let's all go into the bar and have a drink.
But what if she calls us and we don't hear her and they give away our room, but then we don't know that and come back here and start waiting again, but this time there's no end to it because the room is gone and so we sit here forever.
One of us could get drinks for the rest.
But what if that person comes back and everyone is gone and they drink all the drinks themselves and get really wasted and do something crazy like tip over that urn?
I'll go ask.
Thanks, Lou.
I feel like the only grown-up.
So, where are all you folks from?
Not Mount Olympus.
Oh, that's not in Washington State, right?
No, yes.
Where are you folks from?
Well, I'm from Florida, but I live in Lexington, Kentucky.
I'm from Boca Raton.
Delray Beach.
Lou, I thought you were from Jacksonville.
I was. I just bought a hotel in Boca.
When?
Right now, up at the front desk. It's like a dollar more when you get a double room, like bonus points.
We all live in Kentucky now. Don't listen to him.
You don't live in Kentucky anymore. You live here now. For eternity. Forced to...
Oh, my taxi's here. See you all later around the pool, perhaps.
See you, Joseph.
That's Joseph. He's from Rio.
Say, there's a piano. Do you think they'd mind if I played it?
Go for it.
Hey, anybody want to play Rook?
What's that?
It's a card game.
Is it like whist?
Yeah, sorta, but with a special deck that doesn't have any face cards so that we're not subject to the devilish forces of evil.
Face cards are evil?
So I'm told. Lots of stuff is evil that doesn't seem it. I always keep a handbook with me to remind me what stuff is evil. See?
North American Field Guide to Evil.
Yep. Also have this checklist all the evil items I've spotted. Some are common, like dice, and others are rare, like satanic ceremonial daggers.
Dice are evil?
Yep.
Why?
Because they're unpredictable. They have no guiding principle. You think they're on your side, and then they turn on you because they have no loyalty. They can cause you to lose your life savings, and then they show no remorse.
Well, I can't argue with that.
Some clothing items are evil. Skulls are evil.
Skulls? But everybody has one. It's your head.
I wouldn't go around announcing that if I were you. They represent death. Just having one in your possession in some parts of the country can get you killed.
You know what's evil? When I take off my glasses to tighten those little screws, and suddenly I can't see them. What do you do when the very thing you depend upon to see the world needs fixing?
Alcohol is evil, except for wine, then only metaphorically. You should never drink it. Also, most art is evil.
Well, folks, I'm going to go get some moussaka, but not because I'm Greek.
Well, nice to meet you. What did you say your name was?
I told you already, didn't I?
I don't remember.
Yes, I gave you a name when we met. It's still that name.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure we'll run into each other again during our stay.
See ya.
Ciao.
Nice guy. Crazy beard. The flies are weird.
Yeah, you don't know what people are going through, though.
How long have we been waiting?
Like 10 minutes.
Ugh. Seems much longer. Everybody seems to be here for a reason, too, but I can't remember why we're here.
We're just passing through.
Yep, just passing through.
Like an undigestible corn kernel.
Or Shane.
Oh, man, I can't stomach that stuff.
Westerns?
Yeah, I think it's the hats. I know it's irrational. I can control a lot of things, but my opinion is not one of them.
Well, who controls your opinion if not you?
Where did you hear that stuff?
Well, it's my own question.
I doubt that. Sounds like you're an auto-opinionist.
Or a thoughtitarian.
I don't know what those are.
They're labels. You don't have a label?
No, I don't believe in labels.
I wouldn't want to have to cook in your kitchen. Bunch of blank cans.
I think I'm opening a can of beans, and it turns out to be coconut milk.
No, I keep the labels on the cans. I just mean I don't like labeling myself.
Of course not. That's for others to do. But once they have, you have to keep it on so we know what's in you.
Until we open you. Then we can take the label off and see if there's a recipe printed on the other side.
Well, why can't I just be myself?
How's that work?
Yeah, I'm a guitar man. Yeah, it's my thing. People know me as that. Hey, yeah, it's Hardy the guitar man. Not really. Unfortunately, I know just enough guitar to make people think I know more than I do. It's like French. I speak just enough French that people assume that I can speak French. But I'll tell you, it's better to be underestimated than overestimated. It can be very embarrassing. It is better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open it and have people chunk peanuts in it like you're a hippo. Grr. I tell you, I wonder if the hippo at the zoo thinks, hey, I'm the zoo hippo. Back in the wild, I was just another hippo. They didn't know whether I was one of the alpha hippos or one of the ones that had to get poo slung in their face on a daily basis swimming up the river. But here, I am the hippo. When I was a young man, I felt I had no identity. I didn't know who I was. What am I supposed to be? Seems like the kids in school had something going for me. Good at sports. Or they had to say, hey, look, I can do Cat's Cradle. It's the Cat's Cradle kid. It's the Rubik's Cube kid. But I had nothing. I turned to my family, and I thought, I will use them as a role model. My grandparents or my mother. So I looked to my grandfather. I said, well, what does he do? By the time I lived with him, though, he was retired, and he was selling real estate part-time. So I didn't know, was that my destiny? What did he do before that? Turns out he had a drinking problem up until I was born, and he went from job to job like that. He's a good man, a kind man, but, you know, never really found his thing, necessarily. Just living his life, and then he died. So who am I? What am I supposed to be? I know a lot of people feel that, don't you? Say, well, Hardy, I don't know who I'm supposed to be or what I'm supposed to do. Oh, come here. Come on now. I'll give you something. Here, I've got nothing for you. All I got for you are stories. All I can tell you is there is no right way to live your life.
I don't think so.
There's no model that we're all based on. You think there is because you look at literature and everything and you think, I want to be that Ivanhoe, or I want to be that Ivan Dixon. Is that his name? Kinch Lowe on Hogan's Heroes? So, boy, that Kinch could operate a radio. He's the radio man. Old war movies would do that to us. Here's old cowboy, and there's Blackie, and there's Blackie the cowboy, and there's, well, they all had different, I can't remember different. There's Stewpot, and there's another fella got some kind of identity. City guy, country guy, see? They all fall into some sort of stereotypes. I'll be that. Nobody, there's never a complex guy, hard to pin down guy. Who's that going to be? That's why we gravitate, I think, towards these superhero movies now. Say, I want to be the fella that has a super hand. That can, what's a super hand do? It can all open all sorts of jars and everything, or it could get really big or really small. Why'd you need a tiny little hand? Come on, you never tried to work on a foreign car or something? Let's get tiny hand in there. Also, my hand is a wrench, and it's a torque wrench, actually, so I know exactly how much it's tightened around my enemy's throats. But we aren't superheroes, and we don't all have uniforms and everything. Some people gravitate towards the military because of that. Say, at least I know where I am. Am I a colonel? Am I a corporal? Am I a private? Am I a corporal? I'm a corporal colonel. They don't have that. They would if I was in the military. They'd have something like that. Say, yes, you're a general private. What's that? Well, you're a private, but you have the arrogance and ego of a general. Oh, is that good? I don't know. Here, get on the front lines. Hold this. What's that? It's a flag. Oh, I'm a flag bearer. That's very important. Yes. Now, just make sure that when you die, and you will, instantly hand it to the next guy.
Thanks.
Yeah, there's always somebody standing next to you have in the same boat. Oh, I love that expression, we're all in the same boat. If you were in one of those lifeboats, everybody's equal, aren't they? Somebody stand up with a top hat and say, I'm now in charge, y'all. I'm mayor of the lifeboat. They'd all get laughed down, say, no, nobody's mayor here in the lifeboat. And yet, oh, the world, is it not some sort of raft? We know now that the Earth is actually a big inflatable balloon, don't we? There's nothing in the middle. We thought there was rock and stuff like that, but no. The world, like all the people in it, are full of hot air. And we're just floating like that. I don't know if that's true, Hardy. Who am I? How do you do it, Hardy? You have an identity. You're on the radio. Oh, believe me, it doesn't take me very far. When I go out to the store, nobody knows I'm on the radio. Here's the thing. And even if they listen to me, they don't know. It's no big deal. Come on. You know, I'm trying to think of famous radio people. See? Even in that, I can't off the top of my head. I will look in books, though, and then feel bad about myself. It's difficult sometimes to feel bad of yourself just off the top of your head. You got to do some research. That's why Facebook is so good. Say, oh, I didn't realize how deficient I was, how I was failing until I saw myself in relation to other people's accomplishments. And even though I am not a professor, I'm still jealous of the professors when they get things and I don't. Why is that? Oh, we all feel like we're not doing a good enough job. You are. And I will prove it to you that no matter what you do, you're doing it right. Really, Hardy? Yeah, man. Come on. Let me give you a big old hug. Sit down with me. Listen. You'll figure it out, too. You're all right.
Oh, man. I must have fallen asleep. How long was I out?
Quite a while.
You missed some drama, too.
What kind of drama?
Some local kids performed The Frogs by Aristophanes.
But that's comedy.
But then the assistant hotel manager came and screamed at them to leave.
Oh, that's drama.
But then he slipped on a banana peel and fell.
Oh, that's comedy.
But then it turns out he was badly injured.
Oh, that's drama.
But then they called the EMTs, and it turns out it was the Three Stooges, who were bumbling and incompetent, and so he ended up dying.
Man, I don't know what that is.
Theater of the absurd.
None of this really happened, did it?
No, not really. We're working on a play for Butch's Temple Talent Show.
Is that right?
Yeah, every year I perform at the talent show at Temple Beth.
Temple Beth what?
Just Beth.
Temple Beth.
Yep.
I thought that meant House of.
Yep.
Temple House of.
Right.
Stop hassling the guy because of his religion.
I'm not hassling him. I'm just confused.
Maybe you're confused about your own beliefs.
I'm not confused about my beliefs.
Well, then what are they?
What are what?
Your beliefs.
My beliefs about what?
Are you purposely being obtuse?
No, but I mean, that's a very general question.
We just want to know what you believe.
Again, about what?
Okay, do you believe the Earth revolves around the sun?
I don't believe I know.
I don't believe you know either.
Oh, that's a good one.
I got it from the Three Stooges.
The Earth revolves around the sun. That's a fact.
How do you know? Were you there?
Was I where?
This is why I hate discussing religion.
Or politics.
I like discussing politics, just not current politics. I think we need the distance of several thousand years to be objective.
Even then it's tricky.
That's why I never use words when discussing politics. Only interpretive dance.
Say, Lou, what do you think about the new crop of presidential candidates? Oh, man! You kill me, Lou!
Am I right?
I'm getting a little bored again. Do you think those books on that bookshelf are real?
I don't know. Butchie, have a look.
Let's see. Wizard of Oz. No, they're not real.
Well, the Wizard of Oz is real.
No, it isn't. That's made up.
I mean, the book is real.
No, it isn't. That's made up. There's no Oz.
Right, but there's a book, The Wizard of Oz.
A talking lion.
No, I mean there's a work of fiction by Frank Baum called The Wizard of Oz.
I think we have a different definition of what the word real is.
Well, what do you consider a real book?
I don't know. The phone book?
What other books are up there?
Let's see. How I Wrote Certain of My Books by Raymond Roussel. Coming Up for Air by George Orwell. Widdershins by Oliver Onions. Philosophy and Scientific Realism by J.J.C. Smart. And Bennett Cerf's Book of Laughs.
Oh, bring me that one.
I hate that book. That Marvin is a smart aleck. I can't stand him.
It's a good thing I can write my name with my finger since I can't write my name with my pencil.
Man, if I was his mom, I'd be like, stop that.
They're just jokes.
Well, I don't find it funny. We have a different sense of humor.
Well, who is your favorite comedian?
My friend Jimmy.
Is he famous?
Famous? No. You have to be famous to be funny?
No, it's just that I've never heard of him.
Oh, then he can't be any good. Just take my word for it. He's the funniest. Who is your favorite?
Oh, I got lots. I mean, Lucille Ball makes me laugh, Jack Benny.
But not Lou's friend Jimmy.
Again, I've never heard of him.
But I'm telling you, he's the funniest. You think I'm a liar?
No, I just have to hear it for myself.
Well, I'll demonstrate. This is how hard I laugh when he says something funny. Oh, man! Like that.
No, I get it. A person needs to experience something themselves to see if they like it or understand it or not.
Oh, like cell division.
I see what you're trying to do. I can't see cells divide, but I can see the result.
Oh, well then here's the result of Jimmy saying something funny. Oh, man, Jimmy. Oh, you're killing me.
Okay, I get it. Okay, Jimmy is the funniest guy.
You don't know what you're talking about. Jimmy isn't a guy. She's a woman. You're just saying what I want to hear. Is there really any you, or are you just some sort of relativist chameleon?
There was lots of people in the lobby, and now it seems empty.
I guess everyone got a room or had somewhere to be.
They turned out not to be very good friends. I wish I could get my gum back.
Man, this wait is taking forever. I'm tempted to just get a room and stay here for the night.
That's what we're trying to do.
Oh, right.
Hey, look at all these folks coming in. What's this all about?
It looks like some sort of sports team. Is it high school or college?
I don't know.
Are they all checking in at once?
They're gonna be busy at the desk. This might set us back a bit getting our room.
I know. Look behind them. There's a bunch of people with matching t-shirts. I bet it's a family reunion.
What are those buses pulling up?
Lafayette Village. I think it's a retirement home. I bet it's some kind of senior tour group.
Man, it's getting busy in here.
Are those Prussian soldiers?
They must be historical reenactors. Now, this place went from empty to a crowd scene.
I like to people watch, but there's too many of them. I'm getting that hypnosis you get when you watch an anthill.
When it rains, it pours.
Nope. All sorts of different kinds of rain. Simply not true.
Maybe we should step outside or hit the bar.
Again, how will we know when our room is ready?
I'd ask, but there's a bunch of people at the desk.
During the slow times, you get the illusion you're the only one who needs a thing. But then you realize everybody wants the same thing.
Yep. A room with two single beds and a cot and no peanuts in the shampoo. We're so common.
When I graduated high school, I had a C average, and no plans and no goals and nothing to do or anything. My mom knew this lady named Beulah who managed a bath shop in a fancy mall. They sold towels and Lucite Kleenex holders and things like that. I didn't know anything about that. Shower curtains. And I got a job there working behind the counter. And I don't know why it is, but I am incompetent at almost any job I do. I don't know if it's because I'm lazy and don't pay attention. I think that's it, actually. So I worked there for a while, and boy, it was frustrating. People would come in all the time, and they would ask for things. I couldn't even understand what they were asking for, because a lot of times, people would not admit that they didn't know what they were talking about. And a fella come in one time, and he said, "Do you have any fragrances by Estée Lauder?" And I said, "I don't know what that is. Estée Lauder, Estée Lauder." And he kept yelling at it, because, of course, if you yell something at someone, they'll understand it more. That's why teachers will yell things at you. 2 + 2 = 4, like that. Go, "No, now I get it. When you're saying it softly, it didn't quite sink in." So he's saying that. I'm going, "Man, I think he means Estee Lauder," which is how I've always said it, and I think most people do. But he was insisting. But I couldn't say to him, "Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You look like a fool," because it was making him feel better about himself. He thought I was the fool. And in reality, we're both fools, right? We're equal. But if he wants to feel like he's got something on me, a lot of rich people would come in from other countries too, brimming with confidence and very little English language skills. And they would yell the same things at me. Somebody yelled, "Coton, coton, coton." I'm saying, "You saying crouton? I don't think we have croutons, but I'll check." That's me at any job. It's like I always go and ask. I'm not very self-sufficient. "Excuse me, Beulah, do we have croutons?" Every time I'd ask Beulah something, she'd say, "What's your problem?" Like, not what do you need? "What's your problem?" And I realized, oh, no, everything is a problem, isn't it? Every time I bring a question to somebody, I have a problem and I make it theirs. Well, that person was saying cotton. They want some sort of cotton ball dispenser. And I got it for them. And the entire time, they were treating it like, boy, it's beneath their dignity to even deal with me. And that's fine. But I didn't really feel bad about myself for some reason, because it just seemed as people were being ridiculous. And I was standing there and saying, "Man, I'm just a person too." And it'd be much nicer if we worked together and we both realized that nobody knew what they were talking about. But some need to feel, excuse me, we all need to feel as if we're special, don't we? Because life is very confusing. You can't just think, "Oh, well, there's no purpose to it. I have no reason, no purpose, no goal." When we go outside and we play at recess, we still have, you have this, right? I'm in an adult elementary school, just for fun. But anyway, so we go out at recess and say, "Okay, now here's the rules. We're going to do this." And I'm thinking, "I don't want any rules, no rules." And they say, "Okay, just free play." And I say, "Well, what do you mean free play? What am I supposed to do?" "Oh, there's the problem. Too many rules, not enough rules. What am I supposed to do with my free time? What am I supposed to do with my life? This seems like a burden." If I say nothing, you say, that just leaves me in a worse situation. So I said, "Well, make something up arbitrary." "Well, see, that can't be right either. Is there no grand design for human beings? Is there no person I can model myself after?" "Oh, I do. I just change on a daily basis. I just pretend I live life in a crazy way. Sometimes I wake up and I say, today I'm going to act like I'm Napoleon, but nobody knows I'm Napoleon. And I've got grand ambitions, but they're never going to be realized. So I'll take a deep breath and I'll just enjoy the things Napoleon enjoyed, like potato soup. I think he liked it. I don't know. That's what I want to do. I just want to sit in a battlefield and eat potato soup. Is that so wrong? Oh, friends, I feel better when I'm with y'all, because I realize that you're going through exactly what I'm going through. All of you are also mortal, except for the ones that are not mortal, and I can tell because I got those special sunglasses. I can see the immortals, and y'all think you go, oh, a lot of the mortals will have surgery to make themselves look wrinkly. Say, whatever the opposite of Botox is, make me look like I'm aging so I don't people don't catch on to me. I don't want them to know that I'm Nicholas Flamel or something. Yes, oh, who wants to live forever? Me, oh, me. Would you really want to, though? Could you imagine living forever? I act like that when it comes to sort of repairs around the house. I think, oh, I'll just do it next millennium or something. I don't have a sense of urgency. I guess I should, but a sense of urgency would just make me kind of have cramps. Oh, I'm having them now. Oh, the stress we put on each other. And we live in a world of such hostility. Look at all these knitted brows. I know that knitting is big now, and it was revival a few years ago. So you know what? I remember my grandmother, Madame Lafarge, just sitting there knitting all the time. And oh, how contented she was. And then at the end of it, she would have something big, look like a big knitted condom or something. I don't even know what it was. Say, oh, it's an umbrella cozy. I think my umbrella's fine. It doesn't mind being cold and wet. Oh, we do, though. We need some sort of comfort. I want to do that. Can't I just throw a blanket on you? Oh, when you're in times of need, a little human kindness goes a long way. But when you're riding high, a little human kindness, you don't feel it. Some sort of gnat. But, you know, when you're lonely, that gnat can be your friend. Hello, I'm your little friend. I'm the only friend you have in the world.
20 questions.
Ugh, okay. Animal, vegetable, or mineral?
All three.
That's not right.
Let me think. No, that's right.
Chicken salad.
Yeah, but you got it.
But mineral?
The bowl. Want to try again?
No.
How about I spy? I spy with my little eye something beginning with P.
Patio.
Nope.
Palm tree.
Nope.
Philistine.
Very good.
Oh, come on.
Referring to you, by the way.
How about a riddle?
Oh, no, please.
What's new and old at the same time?
Hardy's latest show.
Why are you guys giving me such a hard time?
It's how we show our love.
I don't get that.
I would never say all this to a stranger, but I trust you, and I know that you know I love you, and I would never really want to hurt you too badly.
Aw, thanks, man. I love you, too.
Ew.
What?
You said I love you. Ew.
What? You said it.
No, I said I love ya. It's different. Implies a different kind of love. Love you, man.
Love you, too.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Well, there's different kinds of love.
The Greeks had names for them. I wish the guy who isn't Zeus was here. He could confirm. There's agape, which is like goodwill.
Eros, which is like sexual love.
Philia, which is like friendship.
And storge.
Oh, come on, that last one's made up.
No, storge. That means the kind of love that keeps you from choking out your family members. I love you, in a storge way.
Oh, so much of love is tolerance. Put up with one another, it's good to put up with one another. You have a family like that, say, oh, I love them, but boy, they get on my last nerve. Oh, everybody gets on everybody else's nerves. This is just the way. My grandfather used to say, oh, that person acts like their poo doesn't smell, implying that everyone's poo smells. But then I thought, well, there's some whose poo does not smell, like birds. I'm pretty sure. I've been pooed on by birds before. By the way, I believe it's good luck. And I don't remember it smelling. So if acting like your poo doesn't smell means you're a bird, means that you're free and soaring, then yes, I act like my poo doesn't smell. I don't have to be preoccupied with that sort of thing. All preoccupied with faults. Oh, so many of us are flawed, you say. Flawed in what way? Is there some sort of perfect thing? I don't think so. I've never seen it. I think it's just free form. Everything's free form. And if you think it's not, bless you. Do what you need to do. But I'll tell you, don't be miserable. Oh, I'll hold you. Can I hold you for a while? You're making me uncomfortable, Hardy. Well, you hold yourself. Do that thing where you put your arms around and you turn your back to people and it looks like you're hugging somebody. But it's your hands. Look at you. You can hug yourself being your own best friend. People, let me tell you about my best friend. I'm my own Eddie's father. I'm a single father of one, me. I'm a single mother of one, me. Yeah. Love me the way you love a child. Love yourself the way you'd love some little baby or something in your charge or anything. Or it doesn't have to be a baby. Some people go, oh, I can't stand babies. Make it a puppy. Okay, that's better. Make it a snake. Oh, I love my snake. See, people be tender about all sorts of things. You find that and make yourself your own ball constrictor or whatever you have to do. Is it ball, boa, ball, ball? I think one of them is true. I'm not a big snake person. I'm a little weirded out by reptiles, herps, we call them. And like also any like whatever is a herp. But I'm a little weirded out by them, especially, I gotta be honest, glass lizards. It's glass lizard is a lizard with no legs. Well, it's a snake, but it's not a snake, it's a lizard. And there were snakes that had little legs. Well, that's a lizard. No, it's a snake with legs. So what's the difference between a lizard and a snake? There's a biologist going, ooh, 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 I know there's difference. They're different on the different trees and everything. But sometimes appearances don't tell you anything. You look at me, people look at me and they say, I think I know you. That's why I tell you, sometimes I have a big bushy beard. And other times I don't. And I think it baffles people. Say, do you have a beard or don't you? I say, well, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. Say, why do you shave it off? So I'm not really sure, but I tell you when I do have a beard, people make assumptions about me, which is fine. I love it. I love it. But sometimes I like them to make different assumptions just for variety's sake so I can keep on my toes. So I shave it off and they make assumptions. They say, hey, now that we see your chin, I'm making assumptions about your ancestry. It's a very weak chin. So I imagine that you are in no way royalty. Oh, I'm convinced that I am. I always think, even though I have lots of cousins, I'm always convinced that I'm going to get a letter in the mail that says, you are the sole heir to the throne of Manifestan, and we'd like you to come and claim your crown. And I would. If I got an email like that, that'd be better than those scams from Africa that says, you know, give us your bank number. We've got money waiting for you. If it said, you are secretly a European king, I think I'd believe it. Isn't it? If you're going to scam people, you have to find their weaknesses, the one thing they wish they were, the one thing that it would not take much convincing to talk them into. Oh, do you have that? Do you have something? Say, oh, that's why a lot of times people see themselves as an artist and they get a little bit of flattery and it's kind of a bad thing because maybe they don't have much skill. There was a poet named Max Jacob, Frenchman, a Jew. He lived in France. And he was a struggling poet, and he ran with a crew with other artists and things like that. And one time Picasso said to him, Max Jacob is the greatest poet. Now, the thing is, I don't know that Picasso had that, you know, big grasp of the language enough to understand all the subtleties of his poetry. And I think he is just making an offhand comment, and Max took him seriously. And Max thought, Picasso thinks that I'm the greatest poet. Oh, I won't tell you Max's tragic end. He died in the Holocaust. Oh, yes. He perished. And even if he was the greatest poet or wasn't the greatest poet, does it matter? He's a human being, a beautiful, unique human being who got to walk the earth, who got to have pleasure, who got to suffer, who got to be born, who got to die. Who needs anything else? By the way, Picasso also died. And then he rotted in the grave. And you think he's a big deal now, but he doesn't know it. He doesn't know it. He doesn't know it. Doesn't matter.
We are in a lobby.
Our lobby is our world, purposeless and without substance.
Suspended between action and inaction.
We sit and are still. We wait, but we know not for what.
Perhaps we are dead.
Perhaps we are dreaming.
We are at the center of things, but no nearer the truth.
For what is truth?
Is this the antechamber of hell?
Is this the waiting room for paradise?
Are you writing all this down?
I'm trying, but you guys are talking too fast. Also, waiting room for paradise isn't terribly poetic.
Oh, you're right.
By the way, is that real grass?
What are you talking about?
on that low wall by those benches.
I think that's plastic.
Sure looks real.
No, it's too perfect to be real.
What's that supposed to mean?
I mean, real plants aren't uniformly green and healthy. That looks too green and even.
So if something is healthy and beautiful, it must not be real.
I'm just saying, plastic plants are too perfect, and real grass has blemishes.
So real means flawed.
No, I'm only talking about appearances.
Am I real?
Of course.
So I must not be beautiful or perfect in some way.
Man, everybody is flawed.
In what way?
Oh, come on.
No, seriously. What's a person supposed to look like that you can spot the flawed ones?
Well, there's no...
So there's an ideal human, and anyone who doesn't look or act that way is flawed?
Hey, he just asked me whether I thought that grass is real.
I know it's real. I ain't seeing things.
I should have said alive.
Ooh,
you guys are like the world's most obnoxious grad students.
Thank you. I only made it through high school.
Me too, and a couple of advanced degrees.
I didn't know that, Butchie.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, what degrees do you have?
I have a B.A. in English and philosophy, a master's in religion, a master's in creative writing, a master's in biology, a master's in art, and a Ph.D. in lying about my academic credentials.
Oh, you had me going.
Think about it. If I had all that, why would I be hanging out with you?
This guy's ego is boundless.
Man, it seems like we've been here for hours, and all those people who came in after us are in their rooms. What gives?
Maybe they forgot about us.
Would you like me to check?
Could you?
I would be... yes.
If I sit here another minute, I'm going to lose my mind.
I just keep picturing myself curled up on that cot with some nice peanut-free shampoo. Man, that's living.
Well, bad news. They're full.
What?
What? But they were making up our rooms. We had reservations.
I'm going to go give them a piece of my mind.
Save your mind pieces. I never actually made the reservations.
Well, what about that making up our room stuff?
The rooms weren't made up, but my story was.
Lou, why?
I don't know. I like lobbies. I wanted an excuse to hang out.
Lou, you wasted our time. I'm so angry.
Wasted time? What do you imagine time is that it can be wasted? Time does its own thing, man. There's no wasting it. It's ubiquitous. You never run out.
No, eventually you run out of time.
No, you run out of life. Time just is.
I could have been...
what? Sitting in a room? By yourself? Closed off to your fellow man? I'm a lobby guy.
Is a guy trapped in a lobby a lobbyist?
If a guy trapped in a den is a dentist.
And a guy trapped in a kitchen is a sous chef.
Look, I'm sorry I lied. They said at the desk we could wait here, and if a reservation cancels, we can have the room. Or we could go across town to the super fancy hotel.
Well, I guess we'll keep waiting. In the lobby.
Suspended between action and inaction.
We sit and are still. We wait, but we know not for what.
Perhaps we are dead.
Perhaps we are dreaming.
We are at the center of things, but no nearer to the truth.
Guy gets to heaven, goes up to the pearly gates, says to St. Peter, are these really made of pearl? He said, no. First of all, it's not pearl gates, it's pearly gates. They're just pearlescent. It just looks pearly. It's not made of pearl. Also, it's a faux finish. Faux finish? Yeah, we got a lot of talented artists up here can do different things. Oh, all right. So you want to get into heaven? St. Peter says. The man says, yes, you know, but I'll tell you about I've made a mess of my life. He said, how so? He says, well, you know, I died of cancer because I was smoking. I go, okay, good. What do you mean, good? Yeah, you're supposed to. Supposed to? That can't be. Yeah. Also, I never really got started in life. You know, I had a lot of debt. I made a lot of mistakes. Good. What do you mean, good? Yeah, you're supposed to. I was supposed to? That doesn't make any sense. No, I'm pretty sure I was supposed to have a certain profession, and I was supposed to take scrupulous care of my health. Okay, whatever. St. Peter, you're confusing me. Are you messing with me? A little bit. All I'm saying is, well, you know, you're dead now. It doesn't matter what you did necessarily. Welcome. Oh, I tell you, he has to go through that all the time. Nobody wants to be a doorman like that, letting people in, checking IDs. Secretly just lets everybody in. And the only reason that St. Peter stops you is because he's lonely. Because he's stuck outside the gate there. They gave him a little stand, just like going into a bar like that. And they say, St. Peter, you stand out here, and you just interview people. And he does, because he's like a lonely old feller. He's like a greeter at one of these big box stores. Hello, welcome. I go into one, and the fella's just, every once in a while, he's sitting down, and he doesn't even greet you. And I think, what is his job? He's not even doing his job. But then I thought, well, you know, maybe that's not his purpose. Maybe his purpose is to be the face of the store. And that face is a confused older gentleman who's only doing it because otherwise he'd be lonely. Maybe that's why the store exists. Otherwise, it would be lonely. That space would be lonely. Maybe houses are lonely, and that's why they want people in them. Maybe they're the real things that are alive. That's why these residential areas pop up like that. We think we're doing it, but maybe the houses are in control. Oh, I know that. I think realtors is some kind of priest class, aren't they? They do the same thing as priests do, that kind of trick you into think that there's supernatural forces at work. So, in this worldview, what is a home inspector? I really don't know. I had a friend that was buying a home one time, and he hired the home inspector to go in there and look at the home. And the home inspector he hired was extremely elderly. And I thought, well, you know, a man has good experience in there. And he walked in the home, and we were there watching him. But it turns out the man's senses had been slightly dulled, and he was kind of tired of his job. So he wasn't really looking very carefully at things. He said, that's fine, it's fine, it's fine. Oh, I think he realized that all homes got something going on. All homes got some problems, don't they? Doesn't mean it won't be a good home. People think if the kitchen is renovated and updated, their lives gonna be better. They see a kitchen, they say, I can picture myself every morning having my little coffee here by the daylight. Light coming in that bay window, and I'm sitting there sipping my coffee in the morning. And the real world is that you never have time to sit down and get it. You just put it in your thermal huddle house travel mug and run to your car and everything like that, and it's cold, and turns out the bay window leaks. Oh, it's never like you think it's gonna be. Yep. Do realtors and car salesmen ever tell the truth? Who knows? What's the truth? Well, there is objective truth. I hate saying that because people think, well, Hardy, you make it sound like nothing's really true. Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. But that's not what this show is for. This show is to give you comfort. This show is to hold your hand. This show is to hold your head. Stop holding my head. But Hardy, you got me in a headlock. I want to hold your head firmly. No, you're holding it down firmly. If you love something, hold on to it. If you love it, let it go while you're holding on to it. And then it will fly away. But you're secretly holding on to it. So you'll fly away too. And you're flying, and the bird's thinking, man, I'm not getting really good the loft that I usually get. And I wonder if there's somebody hanging on to my leg like that. Not me. There was a character in Family Circus, which was, I would say it's a comic strip, but it wasn't a strip at all. It's just a circle. That's why a lot of people call it Family Circle by mistake, but that's a magazine. Isn't that confusing? So it's this little circle, and in it, things would happen to this family. It's like a little snapshot. I always thought it was like taking a jeweler's loop and looking at a tiny little world where people have enormous heads, and when they walk, there's little dashes that follow them. And there was a ghost called Not Me. And Not Me was the ghost of irresponsibility, ghost of not taking responsibility for your actions, the ghost of consequences that had no cause. And so something would happen, and everybody would say, they'd say, father would say, who did this? And the children would say, not me. Or they'd make something up and say, it was some sort of member of a minority group did it. No, don't do that. So Not Me got in all this trouble, but he would always smile. He was like, yes, I did it. They're telling the truth. It was Not Me. And he didn't know, father didn't know that was the name of a little gremlin. He thought that the children were lying. Oh, so many times we think that something was done when it was actually a ghost of not doing that did it. That's not true.
If you're listening to me for any kind of facts, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. This is one of those songs or what if all philosophy courses were just a big shaggy dog story? Just something to get your brain occupied between birth and death. Just something to work on. A puzzle with no real solution. A jigsaw puzzle that had some of the pieces missing. Or was just all edges. And there was nothing in the middle. What do I do with the middle? Well, when you get the edges done, it comes with a magic marker. And then you make the middle of the puzzle. That's also a type of puzzle. Creating. We create ourselves. In the fire of our will. That is from one of my favorite movies. Enter the Dragon. Here's the thing they never do. They never enter any dragons. Isn't that strange? And I think it's supposed to be poetic. It's supposed to say, get on in that dragon. He won't find you there. The dragon is life. If you stand outside of it and you say, I'm outside of life, the dragon will eat you. But if you go down in its throat and you exist in the life, in the belly of the dragon, he'll just accept that you're there. He'll just think that you're some sort of thing living in his belly, like we got worms. He says, that's my tapeworm, and I love him. And we come to love the things that live in our belly. I got all sorts of people. I regularly, if I see anybody like little tiny folk living in the wainscoting, what's that? I think it's around where the mouse hole is. I got a little mouse hole, little door, and sometimes there's tiny little people, little borrowers or whatever, and I'll just take one, I'll say, come here, and I'll swallow them. And you think you killed them. No, I didn't kill them. They've just gone to live in me. And they say, I'm in your duodenum or whatever it's called, duodenal area. And I have a little duplex there, and I share it with my family. I say, how do you get light? You go, well, occasionally, Hardy will ingest some sort of gassy food, and we'll light it up, and that's indigestion. I'm telling you. I should write a book about this stuff, How Things Don't Really Happen, by Hardy White. And why not? Why not? I like to give you all sorts of possibilities. Who knows what clue will open your mind? And I think that's my job. Maybe your happiness has a lock on it, and I got all these keys. Now, probably none of them fit, but I'm just going to keep trying and trying and trying and sticking them in there, because why not? One of them might open it. One of them. Can you imagine that? I said something silly, and you go, Hardy just said something that triggered a wonderful thought. And now I'm not as sad as I was. And now I don't feel as hopeless as I felt. I feel a little better. Do you ever get discouraged, Hardy? Do I ever what? Am I ever not discouraged? No, did you ever get discouraged? Am I ever completely confident? Am I ever not always wondering, what am I supposed to do? I love it. You know, I don't have I'm not a tremendous success in life. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of fame or acclaim, necessarily. Now, you might think I do because you listen to the media. This is a false thing, right? You say, boy, you know, I'm looking at the media, and apparently kid, his life must be perfect because he's on Ellen all the time. But I tell you, that's nothing. You don't know what's going on with people. You just see this picture, this brief, fleeting snapshot of them. You think, well, they got everything. Do that on social media. You say, oh, they got everything. But you can't be inside their head. Not like being John Malkovich. You can't slide in some tunnel, see life through their eyes. Oh, and even if you could see it, could you feel it? You don't know. You want to say, oh, I want to be so-and-so. And I say, do you know so-and-so is dyspeptic? What? Yep. So-and-so has chronic abdominal pain. Well, then forget. I want to be that without the abdominal pain. Maybe it comes with abdominal pain. Did you ever buy something? And you say, oh, I love that sweater. And they say, yes, well, it comes with abdominal pain. So I don't want that. I just want the sweater. Can't have it. It's a special abdominal pain sweater. Sometimes people are like they are because they have been forged in some fire. You want the fire? I'm gooey
and I'm not forged. I'm like a clay pot that's never been really fired. Oh, I've had things happen in my life. Yes, I've had tragedy. I'm sure. But when I peek out into the world, out of my little cave, out of my little protective shell, I see others having more tragedy. I say, I don't know, I don't think I quite want that. I say, well, you're doomed to live in obscurity. That's all right. Some of my favorite, well, my favorite philosopher said, live obscurely. Epicurus. He said, live obscurely. And he also said that don't eat fava beans because the stalks are hollow and the souls of the dead shoot up in them into heaven. Now, he's not, that wasn't correct, I don't think, necessarily. Oh, it's so funny how people can spout wisdom and nonsense in almost the same sentence. That's why you got to go through it. You got to cull out. You got to pick the seeds out. Say, boy, I like, or you can just crunch the seeds like a pomegranate. So I spend all this time trying to nibble the meat off a pomegranate seed. So just eat it all. Just eat it all whole. Some things you got to pick stuff out of. It's like eating sunflower seeds, spitting the shells out, just so you have a little bit of the nut meat. Nut meat. I tell you, friends, this opportunity to speak with you, I realize, is invaluable. Nobody can put any kind of price tag on it. And if I did, I'd make it some kind of vintage Kmart price tag. Isn't that quaint? We all love that. Oh, I tell you, I like memories. My memories, I get to mess around with them. You know, they're not accurate. Memories are like photographs that you get to put then into Photoshop, and you can change them a little, make things a little brighter than they were, a little darker than they were, change the narrative, change what was happening around that, make it fit things a little better. Oh my goodness, there's so much room to do things. You're not confined. Let yourself expand. Doesn't matter, you're doing it right. I'm failing, you're doing it right. Oh, I'm drifting, you're doing it right. What you don't have to be is lonely. You don't have to do it alone. You know, if you come to the realization that perhaps you're okay and you get off your own back, boy, you'll be a good friend and a good helper to others. And then secretly, you will get a thing. People will come to see you as somebody that can help them. And you'll get this secret hidden power that those who have let go of all that self-loathing and all that self-torture, they might not be famous or anything, but they're much better to be around. I see it mostly in old people. Sometimes it takes a disease, takes somebody to whittle you down a little bit. Before you realize, oh man, you know, I'm just going to chill out. I'm too old now to be anything special. Nothing's suddenly going to happen to me at this age. You know, it's beautiful. When I was a young man, someone said, oh, it's great to turn 30. Because people stop expecting things of you. They don't ask you, oh, what you going to do with your life and everything. Boy, wait 20 years later, they think you've already done it. It's beautiful. They think, oh, you're probably done with that great thing you did. Yep, nearly. But that's all right. Let it go, all that pressure. Let it go. Let the steam come out of your ears. Deflate a little. Oh, I love you. I love you in probably two of those four Greek ways, I'm sure, depending on who you are. Oh, my friend, you bless me so much. You keep me going. Sometimes I get really powerfully sad, suffer from depression, you know, but I fight it. That's my job. So fight it. I know that ain't right. Boy, I know that's part of life, but I want to just get through it. And you're going to help me. How do you know? I know. I know you will. Because we're friends. What am I listening to? You're listening to Miracle Nutrition. Oh, it is a miracle. It's a miracle for me. I can't believe I'm here and doing it again. Every week on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WFMU.org and 91.9 in blessed Rockland County. I bless them every week because who knows? Who knows? Rockland County's role in the future. Who knows what great things will come from a place that I've never been? Oh, my friends, thank you for joining me.
I hope you've enjoyed my little show, my little gift to you. And don't feel like you got to give me a gift back, although writing me would be wonderful. You can write me at HardyWhiteShow@yahoo.com, and then I'd be a little bit less lonely. And then you'd be a little bit cooler, too, because I appreciate you. All right. Well, I'll see you again next week, and you take care.
Yes, sir. My friends, I want you to listen in every week, every week. I want to help you. Like I said, you're down and out. If you're suffering bad luck, hard times, you're sick in the relationship, you're sick, my friend, because they're just not doing you right. You're sick because the kids aren't going right. Get on the phone. You make that call. Let us help you. You get that IYB All Natural Herbal Health Tea. Let us help you get that weight off. Let us help you, my friends. Put that blood sugar level under control. Let us help you with that gout and arthritis. Let us help you that are diabetic. You that are having prostate problems, let us help you. My friends, this is your good friend here, Reverend Isaiah, along with Shelley. We're going to say this to you. Believe it and receive it. But the moment you doubt, you got to do without. We want to be the one that help you enhance the quality and the length of your life. God bless you. Say.